Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road is out today, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Michelle, to me, the most important question now for the Titans as they move forward here, whether you want to talk this year, you want to talk 2024, whenever it is that Will Levis is going to play, and whenever that plan is currently in place for Vrabel, and that plan could change, we'll see what happens. But to me, the most important question facing the Titans franchise right now is this one. How can you best set up Will Levis for success? Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. There have been plenty of quarterbacks that have come in that have had good situations around them and have flamed out in the NFL because they weren't good enough and they couldn't play in the NFL at a high enough level. I have no idea whether Will Levis is going to be somebody like that or not. I talked about this before. I didn't love the Will Levis pick, but now they made it, and the only thing I can do is react to the information that we have going on forward here and see what he brings to the table. So, to me, the most important question facing the Titans now is, how can you best position Will Levis to succeed? And it's, you know, you take a look at the roster right now. You have revamped the offensive line, and we'll see whether or not that's a good revamping of the offensive line coming up. The wide receiver room leaves a whole lot to be desired right now. So right now, I think it's pretty clear Will Levis is not in a great spot to succeed if he starts playing immediately. You've got Treylon Burks out there. You got Kyle Phillips. Both of those guys, to some degree, are unknowns as to what they're going to be. And beyond that, there's not much in the wide receiving room. So it's not a great scenario right now for any quarterback, be that Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis. But to me, that's the most important question for the Titans as you move forward. And that really needs to go with every decision they make because, like it or not, it's about the quarterback position in the NFL. And Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have now tied themselves to Will Levis with that draft pick. So every decision when it relates to what you're doing on the field and as you're preparing yourself for eventually Will Levis to become the starter needs to be, all right, how can we best position him to be the best player that he can possibly be? Whatever that looks like, whether that's a Josh Allen type of guy, whether that's a Billy Volek type of guy back in the old days of the Titans. I don't know what the best version of Will Levis is, but that's what the Titans have got to figure out. How do you best position Will Levis for success? Because that's what it's all going to come down to in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've started doing that on paper just based off of the moves that they've made on the offensive line this offseason and throughout the draft. No, they didn't know that they were going to draft specifically Will Levis, but I think in Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel's mind, they knew that they wanted to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. I mean, all the rumors of them moving up and then moving up in the second round to end up getting Will Levis, inviting them to come to Nashville to work them out, to get to know who these guys were. I think it was clear that they were ready to move on from Ryan Tannehill. And you can expect that with a new general manager. So you've made the offensive line changes. And on paper, it looks like you've upgraded. But, I mean, the true testament will be, okay, how do they perform day in, day out, each Sunday? I mean, Nicholas Petit-Frere, is he going to be your right tackle for the next 7 years for Will Levis? Peter Skoronski, is he going to be the Pro Bowl level offensive lineman that people were talking about him, you know, as his, you know, who can he become in this league during the draft process? And Andre Dillard, you know, was he just a backup with the Eagles because they have the best O-line in the NFL and he can be a starter on another team, but he was behind some really, really talented offensive linemen in Philadelphia, maybe. But the true testament will be, how do they work together? So you've already made changes to your offensive line in hope that, you know, they can help Will Levis when he eventually is under center. But you also made quick, short deals with them. Andre Dillard, Brunskill, they're not these long deals. So if you need to get off of them, you can if you realize it doesn't work. I think when you look at the offensive line, the wide receiver aspect of things. So you hope Treylon Burks takes another step. You look at what this roster is next year. You're moving off guys, we'll assume, Tannehill contract, Derrick Henry contract. That's a lot of cap space. And I think they could be in prime position to, you know, go and try to get an established wide receiver. Because I think something that we've seen in the NFL is, how do you set up your young quarterback for success? And a huge part of that, not only protecting him, but a huge part of that is giving him an elite wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it with Josh Allen taking a leap when he was given Stephon Diggs. We've seen it with Jalen Hurts taking a huge leap when he had not only Devontae Smith, but then A.J. Brown. We've seen it with
some guy.
We've seen it with Tua Tagovailoa, right? When he gets, you know, another guy to waddle, Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying you need to go get two guys, but if Treylon Burks can be that true number two, and you can go get a guy like Will Levis, a true number one wide receiver in this draft, or in the draft or within free agency, I think that's how you set up your quarterback for success. And I think we're starting to see pieces of it right now, but it doesn't really matter if the team is that good this year. I know it's going to suck to watch, but it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, if they're bad, you'll be in good draft position. And there are a lot of prime quarterbacks next year that you could use. A team could want to trade up to go and get one of those guys, and then you could start to earn some of that draft capital back. Because I already talked about it. You don't have a fifth or sixth round pick next year because of the Dennis Daly and the Ugo Amadi trade. So I think,
third.
Yeah, or third. So I think that is probably the best way to, you know, put my GM hat on and say, okay, here's the formula of what they need to do. Will it work?
Well, I said this heading into the offseason. You know, there were so many holes on this team that one of the things that we talked about like 2 or 3 days after the season ended last year was, it's going to be pretty hard to fill all these holes this offseason. Like, in one offseason, to fix the entire offensive line and to add to the wide receiver room, plus, you know, some other moves that you might have to make of adding depth at running back or adding depth at corner, all those things. I mean, they've done some of that. Sean Murphy Bunting has come in at corner, and they have revamped the offensive line. So they've done a lot this offseason in terms of reshaping things. How's it going to work? I have no idea. We'll see. The receiver room has not been improved. Like, it just hasn't. I mean, you got Treylon Burks. He took a seventh round pick in the draft at the receiver room. And look, he may end up being a steal of the draft. I have no idea. But, I mean, the likelihood is in the seventh round that probably not going to be much of an impact player. So we'll see what happens on that front. I say all that to say, like, I think we kind of knew deep down, if you were being honest with yourself, that this was going to be a more than a one-off season fix for the Titans. There was just so much that they had to fix. Now, to me, that doesn't excuse doing nothing at wide receiver. But I think we knew that it was going to be more than a one-off season fix. But I'm with you. Like, first things first, you got to get your offensive line fixed, and we'll see whether or not they did. I mean, the way that some of these contracts are structured, you got Skoronski coming in as a draft pick. Dillard is a three-year deal, but, I mean, you can kind of get out of it after the first year. You've got Brunskill coming in. It's really important that Petit Frere takes another step, because the last thing you want to do, and the Titans just really can't afford for this to happen with the way that things are going right now. They have so many needs everywhere else, especially a wide receiver. You can't go into next year's draft and say, man, I don't think Nick Petit Frere is really any good. We got to find another right tackle. Or, man, the worst case scenario would be Nick's Petit Frere is not that great. We don't feel good about him at right tackle. And Andre Dillard, nope, not looking good at left tackle. And then you got to find two more tackles. Like, if they go in and needed two tackles next year, this fan base is going to go nuts.
So irate.
Hopefully you fix that if you're the Titans, but there's a lot of pressure on those two guys specifically. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Two things real quick. As far as wide receivers go, I mean, there's not really a whole lot out there to really choose from right now. I think our best option is to go with the draft next year and possibly just play it out and just absolutely tank. The other side of this that I wanted to bring up is, we're all in a rush to start Levis because of his physical attributes. Something that stuck out to me the other day is the Panthers general manager talking about Bryce Young may not even start this year, that he may sit behind Andy Dalton. And I'm sitting there thinking, if he's the top quarterback in the draft class and that's who everybody wanted and he's going to even sit, then why are we in a rush to start our quarterback? Thanks, guys.
Yep, great question. I mean, look, first off, I don't know that people are in a rush to see Will Levis. Now, look, there's the natural intrigue that's there, right? Like it's, oh, you've taken a quarterback and you've taken a quarterback high. Let's see what it can do. And obviously, like if Levis goes out there in the preseason and looks like he knows what he's doing out there, a lot of Titans fans are going to be like, well, just go. Just roll with him. Let's see what we got. And look, you can find success stories both ways. You can find a bunch of successful quarterbacks that have sat for a year or a couple of years, and then they've come in at their time, and they've looked really good. Aaron Rodgers sat for a long time. He's pretty darn good. Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. He's pretty darn good. Like, you can find examples. You can also find examples of guys that have come right in and played immediately and have been Hall of Fame players. Peyton Manning came in right away, played immediately. He's a Hall of Fame player. Rookie year didn't go well, but he played well after that and took his lumps, and that was that. I don't know what Will Levis is. I don't know what he's going to be. There's different philosophies to it when it comes to that thought. This is the first time we're going to see what Vrabel's is. Like, even the Malik Willis situation last year is different. Like, the Will Levis is in a different spot than Malik Willis was in. What is Vrabel's approach to this going to be? I think that the approach is going to be Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. He's got a year left on his deal, and we're going to go with Ryan Tannehill, and Will Levis is going to sit. But I may be wrong. He may not do that.
Well, and, you know, to that point, and looking at the AFC South as a whole and all the rookie quarterbacks that are in it, I mean, I think the Tennessee Titans not only are going to free up a lot of cap space next year to work with, but, you know, you got your quarterback in the second round. I understand you gave up some draft capital to move up and get him, but Will Levis's total deal is worth about $9 million. You don't get that fifth-year option, but when you look at C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, their first round, like, at second and at fourth overall, you're paying them over $34 million in their time with you.
Yep.
So that is a big significance difference between the two. We talk about, you know, having a quarterback on a rookie deal. Well, you got your guy in the second round too. So maybe, no, he's not going to be as good as a C.J. Stroud, but you're going to have more flexibility to do things around him because you aren't paying him as much.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Chris in Atlanta, hang with us. We'll get to you coming up next. Continuing the conversation on Will Levis, how can the Titans best position him for success? 615-737-1025. Make sure you join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris in Atlanta. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, you guys. Morning. Thanks for taking my call. So with regards to the Tennessee Titans, I feel like I don't know if there's anything they really can do to help Will Levis for next year, because I feel like they should have moved after they drafted Will Levis. They really should have gone after a wide receiver in like their next two picks rather than getting like the tight end and the offensive lineman and the wide receiver in the seventh round. They probably should have gone up and got a wide receiver a little bit earlier than that. Now, free agency, there's nothing really we can do. Plus, Tennessee Titans' history with free agent wide receivers is not that great. And even if you go into next year's draft, in the past 23 years, the Titans have only had five top five draft picks ever. And we all use those to select a quarterback. So the Titans are good enough to make the playoffs, but we're not good to improve our draft position. And even if we do have a good draft position, we don't really do too well. So we're kind of stuck. It's like we're almost like the Nashville Predators in that regard. We're good enough to make the playoffs, but we're going to bow out in the first round. Or we're going to stay right there in the middle of the draft and not be able to select that high-profile player that we truly need to kind of push us over the edge. So I really don't know what the Titans can do to help Will Levis right now.
Yep.
So just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
Thanks. Yep, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate
Thanks, Chris.
You. Well, look, let's be clear. Like, setting Will Levis up for success doesn't mean exclusively this year.
No.
Like, there's, you know.
He might not even play this year.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he shouldn't play this year. Mm-hmm. Like I said it the other day, I'm more open to the idea just because you put up, you know, he was in the second round. You know, Ryan Tannehill is in the last year of his deal, and I'm more open to the idea, I think, really, because I don't think his team's going to be very good this year. Like, you know, I think maximum, this is just the way I view it, and people may disagree with this, and that's fine. Like, it's hard for me to see the Titans winning more than about 8 games this year based mm-hmm. on the way that their roster is right now. Like, in order to do that, to me, it's going to require one of two things, or maybe a combination of the two. It's going to require Treylon Burks becoming an absolute superstar right in front of us, which maybe he'll do. We'll see what happens. We talked about that yesterday. Or it's going to require your defense staying completely healthy and playing at an elite level. Those are one of those two things, to me, is what it's going to require based on the offense right now. Because I have no idea what this offensive line is going to be. The wide receiver room is not good. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. And you got another year older of Ryan Tannehill and another year older for Derrick Henry. Like, those two guys can still play well. I'm not saying that they can't. But it's hard for me to get to 10, 11 wins right now with the Titans based on the roster of where they're at. So the reason I'm more open to playing Will Levis is because I don't think they're going to be very good. And I think you could just let him go through the lumps that way. But I certainly understand the idea of not wanting to do that and sitting him down, for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between starting Will Levis day one and having him start in November after you've seen what this team is and realize, okay, you know, this season is what it is. We're not going to be, you know, in a playoff consideration and things like that. I think it's a very different situation starting Ryan Tannehill day one. And to Chris's point, because I know he said they did draft Corey Davis fifth in 2017.
They did.
So, you know, there has been moves made like that. And I think it's also important to remember, I mean, this is a different GM. I think it's so easy to lump all of these time periods together and think, okay, we haven't done this in 20-something years, but it's been under different leadership, and it's now under different leadership again with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel having more of a say in this situation. And I think when you look up setting up success, it's not an easy fix. We talked about how many holes this team had at the end of last season. I mean, they lost 7 games in a row.
Yep.
I understand you have Mike Vrabel as your head coach and you have Derrick Henry, but Ryan Tannehill was hurt, you know, more than 50% of the season. You had a rookie quarterback out there who couldn't run your offense, and then you got a backup to try to get into the playoffs week 18 of the season. So, I mean, this team was very defeated, depleted, all of the above at the end of the season. I think that they have made good moves. I think that, you know, wide receiver is the big, hey, we're over here, wide receiver room, you know, what's happening next? But maybe they are looking at this season and thinking, okay, we're just going to put what we have out there. We're going to ride out the end of Ryan's contract because, I mean, Charles Robinson came on this show and said, yeah, they're making calls and talking to teams and seeing if anybody will bite on Ryan Tannehill. We couldn't even come up with a landing spot. In addition to that, a team who doesn't only want to take Ryan Tannehill, but take on his contract. He's got one of the biggest cap hits in the league. And along with Derrick Henry, too, I mean, the conversation, and we've gotten so many texts and so many calls that have said, well, okay, if this is the way we're going to go, let's just start Will Levis, let's just trade Tannehill, let's trade Derrick. Well, okay, that's really easy to say, but you need to find a landing spot for a team that doesn't only want to take on a Ryan Tannehill or a Derrick Henry, but they also want to take on their big salary. I mean, you're paying Derrick Henry $10 million, and Ryan Tannehill's cap hit is, like I said, one of the highest in the league. So it's easy to say, let's just get off these guys right now, get off these contracts. Okay, well, find a landing spot because you can't right now. Because I believe if a team wanted Ryan Tannehill, that this Tennessee Titans team probably would have been off of him this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance that that could have been the case. And look, you know, things change. You know, the equation changes as you go through the offseason here. And, you know, maybe the Titans get, you know, past June 1st, and they decide that it's time to move on from Ryan Tannehill. I don't anticipate that being the case this year. Like, I think Tannehill probably needs to start and probably will start. Now, that kind of leads to the other thing, you know, going back to how do you best position Will Levis for success? I mean, a lot of people's answer on the text line so far has been, you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. That's how you best position him.
That'd be great.
For success. And that would be great. I just got through saying I don't think the Titans are going to be that good this year based on the way their roster is right now, maybe 7, 8, 9 wins somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, yeah. Guess what? If you win 7, 8, or 9 games, you're not drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. So is that really the best path to set up Will Levis for success? I don't know. I mean, look, we talked about Connor Bedard earlier, right? I mean, Connor Bedard, the Blackhawks tanked, paid off. They're getting Connor Bedard. We've seen teams in the NFL. There are going to be some teams next year that aren't very good that are tanking because they want a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or somebody like that. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., I saw a report yesterday. I need to go back and find this. But somebody said Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver prospect since Calvin Johnson. And it's like, think about how many wide receivers have come in the league since then. And Calvin Johnson, pretty darn good, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty high praise on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, and you're looking at another team in your division who also has a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud and a very awful wide receiving core. If you compare the two and look at them side by side, not many names you will recognize there. And I could imagine that that's probably their plan, too, and probably a lot of other teams around the league's plan to try and go get one of the best wide receiver prospects in a very, very long time. I mean, people talked about him this year at this year's Pro Day. So not only is next year's draft class stacked with quarterbacks, you have a guy like him, you got a guy in Brock Bowers, who is probably one of the top tight end talents in a very long time, but a lot of other teams have that plan as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's great to say that's what we're going to do, but for that to actually pan out and happen, I mean, your chances are slim. But if it does, it's a game changer. We've seen it happen year in and year out. But I could imagine that C.J. Stroud and the Texans are probably thinking the same thing.
Very well could be. Very well could be. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Josh Kendall from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons, some rumors about Ryan Tannehill regarding the Falcons. We'll get his thoughts on that. Desmond Ridder at the quarterback position and Arthur Smith heading into year three. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. Make sure you join 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of Dunkin' Donuts in Cane Ridge, located at 191 Burkett Commons Avenue. You can enjoy free coffee and other fun giveaways as well, and we'll be on site from 8 to 10. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic, Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road out today. Let's go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Josh Kendall from The Athletic. Josh, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, Josh.
Good morning. Good. Good morning. How y'all?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Josh, it's a very interesting situation down there in Atlanta with Bijan Robinson being drafted. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But specifically at quarterback with Desmond Ridder and just kind of the noise around him heading into his second year. What do you make of the QB situation in Atlanta right now? And what do you make of what you've seen to this point about Desmond Ridder and the way the Falcons feel about him?
So, my sense, what I gather is that the Falcons did not see a reasonable path to a difference-making quarterback. Whether they just didn't think Lamar Jackson at this stage in his career with the injury concerns was that kind of player, or they thought the price was too high, whether they didn't think that they could trade up high enough to get one of the guys in this class that they thought was a difference-maker, or if they even thought one of these guys was a real difference maker. So they looked around. They said, they don't see a path to one of these guys who is a dude, who is a true dude. So if we don't have a true dude, we think Desmond Ridder can maybe be that next level guy. So we're going to give him the chance. We're going to give him the chance by surrounding him with the best offensive talent we can. That seems like, that seems like as good a strategy to me as what we've seen NFL teams do for years, which is constantly chasing a guy that you think is going to be a dude and underestimating how few dudes are actually out there. So, you know, if you don't have one of these sort of half dozen guys who exist on the planet, you might as well settle for a reasonably priced option. They think Desmond Ridder can be that guy. Can he be that guy? We have no idea. He's played four games. We just don't know. So 2023 is about finding out.
Yep, for sure. And Arthur Smith, a big part of that, too. Obviously, Titans fans here are familiar with Arthur Smith as his work as offensive coordinator with the Titans. But heading into year three now for Arthur Smith, what exactly is on the table at stake for him this year as he heads into year three, particularly in this division, Josh, which is, with Tom Brady now gone from Tampa Bay and Derek Carr coming into New Orleans, pretty wide open.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any realistic scenario where Arthur Smith is fired after this season, where he doesn't return for 2024. But this is a very important year for him to win. I think if he doesn't win this year to some degree, that, you know, you're starting to count the time on his tenure in Atlanta, and it's probably not going to work out. By win, I mean get to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. The South is, you know, eminently winnable. Atlanta, you know, is the second betting favorite behind the Saints. I'm not sure the Saints scare anybody. So when Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot took over, they explained to Arthur Blank, these are the things we've got to do, and this is, you know, it's going to take a little while to get the cupboard in order. They've had 2 years. They're 14-20 in those 2 years. You know, that's considered patience in the NFL, so it's time for them to win now.
Josh Kendall from The Athletic on with us. Josh, I know you described Desmond Ridder and the Falcons believe they couldn't find a game-changing quarterback. Of course, you know, the connection between Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith used to be his offensive coordinator. Do you think they ever entertained that idea of looking into potentially getting a guy like Ryan Tannehill?
If they did, we never got a whiff of it. Now, we probably wouldn't have, based on the fact that Arthur and Terry try very hard to really keep it close to the vest. You don't see, you know, a lot of their business leaking out on the street. I'm assuming Vrabel's that way because Arthur, you know, tends to mimic Mike in a lot of ways. I think he's got a lot of respect for the way he does things. So it's possible that those conversations have been had, and I think every conversation has had in the NFL offseason. That's what these guys, that's their job, is to have these conversations and to talk it out and to maybe ask around to see what the price would be. But I don't think that was ever, you know, choice A, B, or C for Atlanta.
So Charles London was with Atlanta as the quarterback's coach for last year. He worked with Desmond Ridder. Now he's over here at the Tennessee Titans. What do you think his role was in developing Desmond Ridder in that year he was with him, and how he's viewed as a developer in the NFL?
Well, he's a guy who was, Arthur Smith moved him from running backs coach to quarterbacks coach. So I think he was learning a lot on the job in terms of the quarterback position. I think that he'll be a really good offensive coordinator. He's smart. He's organized. He checks all those boxes that you want to check to be a good offensive coordinator. But, you know, he's got to go prove it now. It's different. You know, it's different calling plays. It's different organizing the whole thing. It's a different job. His main job in Atlanta was just to communicate Arthur's system and Arthur's plan to the quarterbacks to facilitate sort of their day-to-day development. But he had a tough hand. He had Marcus Mariota, a veteran that didn't work out there, and Desmond Ridder, who spoke highly of him, but they were not together for very long. So I think that there's a question mark on Charles London. I think that he'll do a good job, but we don't know.
Josh, what's the excitement level with the Bijan Robinson pick down there in Atlanta, and how do you think he fits into this offense?
Oh, he fits perfectly. He fits better in Atlanta's offense than anywhere else in the league. You know, I'm not sure I could have pulled the trigger on a running back in top 10 because of positional value, because of the ways over the course of a 4-year, potentially a 5-year with the 5th-year option. Rookie deal, you know, for a running back affects your team building. But Bijan Robinson makes Atlanta better and more exciting and a lot of fun, frankly, in 2023, because he brings a little bit of a different element than Tyler Allgeier brought to the running game. He brings a guy who can line up in the slot, and they really need guys who can take snaps in the slot. He can line up almost anywhere. Arthur Smith has been really creative with guys like that. So I think that Bijan Robinson will, you know, he is the betting favorite for offensive rookie of the year, and he absolutely should be. I think that he'll have a really fun season in Atlanta.
Josh, last thing for you here. What did you see from Drake London in his first year? Obviously, as a rookie, I mean, pretty good numbers that he put up. But what's kind of the excitement level, the expectation for him in year two as he prepares now to step into another year in Arthur Smith's offense?
Yeah, I think that if he just takes a small step forward, he's fine. He was everything they thought they were going to be. Run really smooth route runner, really good hands, tough kid, blocks really an effective and enthusiastic blocker in the running game. What's going to be interesting now is with Desmond Ridder and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, this, you know, first week week one of 2023 will be the first time all three of those guys have been on the field at the same time. So we got to figure out, and then you throw Bijan Robinson, we just talked about in there. You got to figure out where all those targets are going to go. So Drake may not have the numbers that he had in his rookie season, but he can still have a really good year. But he's going to have to share more with Kyle Pitts this year.
Well, Josh, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Josh Kendall. Thanks, Josh. From The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. So really interesting stuff there from Josh in terms of, you know, the quarterback part of this. Desmond Ridder, I mean, you look at the situation now for Atlanta. We've talked about landing spots for Ryan Tannehill. Atlanta has come up. We've talked about Washington. You know, San Francisco apparently signing every quarterback on the earth, so we've talked about them as well. But, I mean, there's not a ton out there. Like, if Ryan Tannehill was going to be a starting quarterback, where would that be? And, like, to me, you know, as Josh laid it out, if Atlanta didn't get in the mix for one of these quarterbacks, or if they didn't get in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, you know, do they really have interest in, like, a Ryan Tannehill at this point? That's why, like, the idea of just moving on from Tannehill, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do if you're the Titans at this point.
And let alone, you know, people have their rosters constructed for the most part to this point in the season, and Ryan Tannehill's a huge salary to take on. So, you know, we asked Josh about Arthur Smith and job security, and he's been patient, but they haven't really won in a division that's one of the worst in the NFC, right? It's really similar to how we view and how we discuss the AFC South. But, you know, I kind of looked at that situation because that was one of the first places that I said, you know, I could see this being a landing spot for Ryan Tannehill. And everybody, you know, whether it be through Twitter or social media, were like, no, Desmond Ridder's their guy. And I understand that. You know, you drafted him. You want to develop him. He still hasn't done much on the field. He's only played a handful of games. But, you know, to then expect him to take on that starting role and also have a winning record for a guy like Arthur Smith, who's been the head coach for a couple of years now. I mean, you need to start winning. And a guy like Ryan Tannehill, no, he's not a game changer, but, you know, in that offense with a couple weapons that we just mentioned, Bijan Robinson, adding him, Drake London, Pitts, I mean, you would be winning games and you could have a really good shot to win the division. So that was kind of the angle I looked at it from. But when you look at it from a financial standpoint, you know, what does Atlanta's cap space look like? Are they willing to take on just 1 year and paying Ryan Tannehill all that much?
Yep.
Probably not. I mean, it seemed from Josh, he said, you know, they like to keep everything, you know, not out to the media like Vrabel. And I was like, oh, yep. He said that. And I laughed a little bit because doesn't want anybody knowing anything. But I have a feeling Ryan Tannehill will be here week one.
Gordon from Nashville says, OMG, I love what Josh is saying. Why couldn't the Titans have taken that philosophy the last 2 years? Talking about the quarterback, if you don't have one of those dudes just building around the quarterback and trying to surround him with the best talent.
Well, yeah.
Maybe. They're also paying Tannehill a lot more money than the Falcons are playing Desmond Ridder.
So, well, I guess you could have then just stayed with Marcus Mariota and just not have had a lot of winning seasons that they just had. And right, I mean, there's so many different ways that this could happen.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, either the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, the Red Rant. Somebody's ranting every morning at 7:45
yes.
Here on the program, and you can check it out. So, look, today mine's pretty simple. I just want to kind of circle back to the Connor Bedard thing, because I'm watching this take place last night, and I'm like, good gracious, the Chicago Blackhawks, after everything that's happened here with winning three Stanley Cups with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, they go in the tank. And by the way, I've said this multiple times. Like, people keep acting like the Blackhawks have gone in the tank and this is the first time that they've done it. They tried to tank like 4 or 5 years ago and it didn't work. Like, they tried to tank, Then they loaded up. They signed Seth Jones. They signed Marc-Andre Fleury. They still had Taze and Kane on the roster. Like, they were trying to be competitive. There were people picking them to make the playoffs a couple of years ago. And then they flamed out in a different work, and they totally tore it down this time. But it's just amazing to me that after everything that's happened with the Chicago Blackhawks, and for those of you who are unfamiliar, just go look it up with things that have happened with the Chicago Blackhawks beyond the winning that they've done with the Kyle Beach situation and Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman and their involvement and all that, that, you know, people get draft picks taken away for the dumbest things in the NHL. Like, I think Arizona got one taken away because of, like, improper contact with somebody at some point. And now you've got the Chicago Blackhawks, who went through a sexual assault investigation through one of their players, where the whole thing was covered up to some degree, which is why Quenneville and Stan Bowman are right now out of the league. Like, all these things have gone down, and you get through the end of this, and they get a first-round pick that's Connor Bedard and a game-changing player and going to be a generational type
rewarded
of player.
Rewarded for the behavior.
Right. Like, it's just, you know, and I saw, you know, Angry Preds fan put this out on Twitter last night, and I agree. Like, you don't want to trivialize that situation and relate it to draft picks. I get all that. But, like, it's just, it's amazing to me that some of the things that draft picks get taken away from are in professional sports, and you go through that whole thing with Chicago, and they're going to end up now with the number one overall pick. So there's that part of it, too. And then there's just the hockey side of it, where it's like, oh, good. So you go from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and this big core together that won three Stanley Cups, and now you get to re-kick this thing off with Connor Bedard in Chicago. Like, you know, honestly, just being completely honest, for the game itself, in terms of the money, in terms of the viewership, it's probably good that he's going to Chicago. Like, I saw a stat. By the time I went to bed last night, the Blackhawks had sold $2.5 million worth of tickets last night at the end of the night, based on like 3 hours after the draft, and their season tickets are expected to get sold out just off Connor Bedard.
Wait till the jersey sales come out.
Right, and there was, you know, I think there was a stat that got put out there yesterday that in terms of percentage, so not building-wise, but in terms of like percentage of attendance, the Blackhawks were like the third worst in the league last year. Well, that's going to go up now, that Connor Bedard, and they're going to be back to near the top of the league like they were with Kane and Toews and all those guys. So I think, honestly, like long-term wise, for the league itself, it's probably good that he's in Chicago, and that's going to fuel more of the conspiracy stuff that we talked about earlier.
But the ping pong balls.
I do look around at whether it was in Anaheim or really especially Columbus. Like, Columbus to me, I mean, they've been in the league almost as long as the Predators have been in the league. I think they came in a year or two after the Predators did. They've won one playoff series in their history. They've got Johnny Gaudreau, who chose to be there as a free agent this summer, or this past summer. And that's pretty much it. Like, that's pretty much all they've got to hang their hat on. Like, I thought it would have been a really cool thing to come in there and kind of revitalize that place and see if he could come in and, you know, get this thing going in Columbus. And now, like, you could see it last night. So Kevin Weeks, for those who missed it, the draft lottery was on ESPN last night, and they were recording at the NHL studios. And Kevin Weeks accidentally, like, read off, I guess, his card that Columbus was going to have the number 3 pick before they went to break, and they were supposed to come back and have the drawing live on the air. So it was interesting. I saw a clip from Jarmo Kekäläinen, who's the general manager of the Blue Jackets, and he was on his press conference last night. I was like, yeah, we kind of saw that we weren't getting the pick before we went to break there. So it was a little bit of a cat out of the bag by the time we came back. Like, they announced that Columbus had the number 3 overall pick, and they flipped to, like, their, I guess, their draft room. And Kekäläinen and his whoever he was sitting there with at the draft room were just sitting there just stone-faced. They're like, oh, gosh.
I don't know if
number 3 overall.
If I was a GM and of Anaheim or Columbus, if I would be able to contain myself. Like, I definitely would have, like, kicked a garbage can or something, especially if you're Columbus and you see it before the commercial break when you think they're going to come back and do the top 3 picks. Just like, I wouldn't be able to, you know, handle my frustration, especially because, as you mentioned, Robbie, not only has Chicago just done some incredible things this last decade, you know, with Patrick Kane, drafted him in 2007 and just moved him to the Rangers this season, And then in addition to everything that's happened within the organization, I mean, you mentioned Arizona gets a first round draft pick taken away for like a workout that was out of the specific time or something they were allowed to do it in. And I think honestly, that's something we've seen in sports. Like if it's specifically written in the rule book, it's very easy for whether it's the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, we've seen it with gambling a lot. You know, if it's specifically written in the rule book, it's so easy for them. Okay, you broke rule X, Y, and Z, so you are going to get this suspension. But if it's something that is just incredibly awful, and no, it might not be specifically like that specific situation written in the rule book, it's sometimes just looked at as, oh, well, that's just going to be figured out themselves and, you know, in the court order. And I understand, you know, this stuff is way bigger than sports. But, I mean, hold some accountability, especially just based off the magnitude of this. And then you add the hockey aspect of this team has been blessed with a first-round pick in Patrick Kane in 2007. And now you get a player we have been talking about, you know, forever now. I feel like the guy's only 17 years old, and get ready for the Blackhawks, another decade of dominance with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
put that in your coffee this
morning. Look, it's I heard from a lot of Predators fans last night that are just mad. They're mad that this
is played
out.
I do not blame you.
The way that this has gone, and you know, it was somewhat predictable. You know, like I said earlier, there's a lot of conversation about the draft lottery itself and the way that things played out yesterday and whether or not the draft lottery is rigged. You know, I could tell you, like I'm semi-familiar with how the process works. It's not rigged. But the NHL is not doing themselves any favors when they have Bill Daly getting up there reading off a card and not having the actual draft lottery taking place on the TV. Like, it just, you're setting yourself up for things like this to happen. And as soon as Columbus came off the board, like the board pretty much went chalk. Like Calgary's at 16, Predators are at 15. Like, it pretty much went chalk all the way down to Columbus. And when it came to Columbus getting number three and it was down to Anaheim and Chicago, I was like, oh, no.
Here
we go. Like the nightmare scenario. And just even Anaheim at number two. And I think the number two pick is going to be a kid named Adam Fantilli, who I think is going to be pretty good. Like, I think he's a pretty good player. He's not Connor Bedard. I think he's going to be pretty good. But, you know, that could be a really good pick for the Ducks at number two. But, like, you could just see it on their faces, too. It's just like, oh, no.
And then the Blackhawks are like, oh, we have an option to choose Connor Bedard. We have the option. Come on.
Yeah, Kyle Davidson's like, you know, we're going to have the opportunity to choose some really good players in this draft. It's like, yes, you are. You are correct.
I mean, it honestly, comparing it to any other, it'd be like the Chiefs say, you know, however Patrick Mahomes plays and is their starting quarterback, and then maybe his last year they just, whether he's like injured or something and he just like sits, and then all of a sudden they somehow get the number one pick and they get just some generational quarterback, just, you know, and they just, the era continues, all the Super Bowls that they won with him. And I mean, honestly, Robbie, it's kind of like the Packers. If somehow Jordan Love was phenomenal and wins a couple Super Bowls in there.
The things that some of you complain about on the text line drive me nuts sometimes. I mean, I could probably do another Rob rant on this. I got somebody complaining about me using great stuff after an interview, and somebody else, oh, wow, hockey. You guys talk hockey. But we talk hockey more than anybody else in the frickin' town.
Yep.
Some of the stuff that y'all complain about on the text line sometimes drives me up a freaking wall. It is unbelievable to me, some of the stuff that y'all complain about sometimes. Get a life! Bonus Rob rant there.
Also, the show is three hours long. So
hockey, as if we don't cover hockey.
If you listen from start to finish, I'm pretty sure every day you probably...
There's not a person in this town that's covered hockey more than me in the last decade. They throw it out there to you.
Really, Robbie? Yes. I thought you covered pickleball. Wait a minute.
Good God, what are we talking about? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Get his thoughts on the question we asked earlier. How can the Titans best position Will Levis for success? More of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.